Thank you. Our regular host, Ian Donis, will be back next week. I'm joined in the studio by University of Rhode Island political scientist Maureen Moakley. Hey, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
And a very special welcome to our guest this week, Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
So the news this week has been dominated by President Trump's zigzag on whether he believes his own intelligence chief's conclusion that Russia tried to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. What's the impact of this national and really international controversy on local politics? Mayor Correa, let's start with you.
Well, I think that the conversation is both sides, whether Republican or Democrat, can both agree America first in this case. And for the president of the United States to be taking the side of another president of another country, a country that has had its history of being not an ally of the United States, was truly bizarre. And I think it's something that's bringing people together. So maybe it will have a reverse positive effect and bring Republicans and Democrats to the same table and talk about some of these national issues, and maybe that can trickle down to local issues as well.
Maureen Moakley, you're a political scientist. What's your take on all this?
Well, I tend to agree with the mayor in the sense that the whole idea of America first is not going to play well. His posture is not going to play well in the Midwest and in the South, and so we'll have to see, but he may be in a little bit of trouble.
But what about his base? I mean, Scott McKay, maybe you want to weigh in here. Does this really matter at all to the base of Trump voters?
I think not, for better or worse. I think he's kind of a Teflon Don when it comes to this. And you'll see this in a lot of the polling that we've seen so far. We're just a very, very divided nation. Still, Republicans still approving of him, even after this, what a lot of people think was a disastrous summit. Whereas independents are starting to turn against him. I think that's one of the problems he's got. One thing in New England I've noticed is there's been a deafening silence from elected Republicans. If you look around, you don't see, you know, the Charlie Bakers, the Phil Scotts in Vermont, more moderate Republicans saying anything.
There's a lot of speculation in political circles about Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, sort of a champion for Democrats, for progressives, and whether she should run for president. What do you think, Scott McKay? Should Elizabeth Warren run for president?
I think there'll be some pressure on her. She's already getting out there. She has a national profile, as we all know, particularly on consumer affairs, banking, women's rights. And I think she is a very, very smart spokesman for the part of her party that she represents.
Spokeswoman, now, rather.
Excuse me. A very good spokeswoman. Don't forget, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, the former governor, has also been around the country campaigning for Democrats and, you know, testing the waters, as the cliche goes. And Massachusetts, as we know, has had, in the last 25 years or so, two national candidates, Governor Dukakis and, of course, John Kerry, who both were on the top of the Democratic ticket.
I just have to say, they both lost.
That's correct.
So what do you think, Maureen? Should Elizabeth Warren run for president?
I think it's a real problem because although I think she's a formidable candidate, I think moving the Democratic Party to the left has a real downside in the sense that the candidates that we hear about may play well with the progressives, but I don't think they're going to play well in the Midwest. I don't think they're going to play well in the South. And I think that creates an opening for the re-election of Donald Trump.
Jaisal Correa, give us a view, a sort of a ground-level view. As mayor of Fall River, you must work with Senator Elizabeth Warren. What's been your experience of her? Is she receptive, responsive to the concerns of your community?
Absolutely. Senator Warren has been, particularly in Fall River recently, we had Phillips Light O'Lear close down their plant in Fall River. We lost about 150 jobs, actually to Mexico, playing right into some of the national conversation. And her team was right there with us and with our union that was, of course, representing the Phillips Light O'Lear employees. And the message was very clear that, you know, these tariffs and some of this national talk of international economic war games is really not what we need to be seeing from our president. And that actually could translate. You know, if she can somehow dial it into a way to talk to those Midwesterners that are part of the manufacturing industry in our country, she may be able to capture some of that, but it's going to take a gargantuan amount of I think, campaigning in those places to go against the Republican Party.
Now, on the other side of the business spectrum, as of the 1st of July, retail recreational marijuana stores can technically open up in Massachusetts, although I don't think any have just yet. What's the status of the first stores in Fall River?
Yeah, so they've been pushed back a little bit for the recreational side. I think we're looking at a date of September 1st for full recreational, and that's a function of the Cannabis Commission in Massachusetts. However, we do have our first medical marijuana facility that has opened up, and it's been opened up for about 3 weeks now, and they're doing very well, and they plan on going recreational shortly. That's been a very interesting process. I'm trying to create a fair process for literally, I would say, 36 companies that probably reached out to the city of Fall River over the last 2 years, and some of them have invested millions of dollars, and some are, you know, mom-and-pop shops or startups, and you're watching an entire birth of a new industry, kind of like the Prohibition time when you're seeing something go from the black market to mainstream and to controlled and regulated and taxable. So it's been quite the experience for me as an elected official.
And what do you have to do at the municipal level to prepare, for example, local police for this?
We don't see it that way. We don't think it's going to be something that we're going to need increased police forces or anything like that. Although, you know, I think a lot of the money that we're diverting from the sales of marijuana will eventually go into our police and safety departments as well as education. We really do see it as a revenue driver. And I think we were progressive, at least with my administration, saying, you know, this is coming. The people have spoken. They voted for this. And the state has really put a lot of responsibility on the local level. We were literally charged with creating a process to vet companies. Things like the host community agreement are all local decisions.
You know, I have to compliment you because the fact is that you're moving ahead. You're attempting to create an infrastructure and you're getting ready for what is inevitably coming, where we here in Rhode Island, while we have more medical marijuana centers, mm-hmm. you at least have the state law on your side. We have not yet even passed the idea that we can have recreational marijuana.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, you know, strategically, a lot of the locations, you know, Fall River being only 20 minutes away, maybe even a little bit less than Providence, and we do border Tiverton, Rhode Island. We have the Tiverton Casino opening up any day now, which is 400 yards from our border. I think that was very strategic by some of these companies that have their eye on Rhode Island as well, quite frankly. Many of them have located along the border of Rhode Island and Tiverton.
We have just a few moments left. Scott McKay, would you like the last word on recreational marijuana?
Yeah, just what kind of revenue are you looking at, Mayor?
This is like the Wild West right now. Nobody exactly knows. So what we did is we've put in a $50,000 annual minimum payment. It's mm-hmm. almost like a licensing fee to operate a retail marijuana facility in Fall River, as well as a grow facility. And we're projecting, you know, I've talked to a couple people in Colorado, elected officials there. I've actually spoken to the person in charge of their version of Cannabis Control Commission. And I looked at Boulder, Colorado, as a similar city, not in terms of economics, but certainly in terms of size. And they have recreational marijuana, and they pull in about $2 million a year in local revenue. So I don't think it's going to be this silver bullet that, you know, you're going to never have to increase property taxes or anything like that, but it certainly will make an impact. $2 million annually is a lot of money, and we'd be happy to take a piece of that action. And we know that people are going to be consuming this product, so it made absolutely no sense to not engage in having some of these facilities.
Well, Fall River Mayor Jaisal Correa, thank you so much for joining Political Roundtable this week.
Oh, my pleasure. Hope to be back.
And thanks to University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley.
Thank you.
And, of course, Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
Your regular host, Ian Donis, will be back next week. I'm Elizabeth Harrison.